Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Osisko Gold Royalties Q1 2018 results conference call. After the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please pick up your receiver and press star one, star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. Please note that this call is being recorded today, May 4th, 2018, at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Today on the call, we have Mr. Sean Roosen, Chair of the Board of Directors and Chief Executive Officer of Osisko Gold Royalties, and Mr. Brian Coates, President of Osisko Gold Royalties. I would now like to turn the meeting over to our host for today's call, Mr. Sean Roosen. Bonjour, mesdames et messieurs, et bienvenue à l'appel conférence du premier trimestre 2018 de redevances aurifères Osisko Limité. Après la présentation, nous procéderons à une séance de questions et réponses. Si vous désirez poser une question, veuillez décrocher le combiné du téléphone et appuyer sur la touche étoile suivie du numéro 1. Veuillez prendre en note que cet appel est enregistré aujourd'hui le 4 mai 2018 à 10h heure de l'Est. Nous avons sur l'appel d'aujourd'hui M. Sean Roosen, président du conseil d'administration et chef de la direction de redevances aurifères Osisko, et M. Brian Coates, président de redevances aurifères Osisko. J'aimerais maintenant céder la parole à votre hôte, Monsieur Sean Roosen.
Merci beaucoup et bienvenue à l'appel conférentiel le premier trimestre de Osisko Gold Royalties 2018. On a une présentation PowerPoint sur notre site web. On va suivre aujourd'hui et je vous invite à chercher cette PowerPoint sur notre site. Welcome everybody to the first quarter conference call for our financial results for the first quarter of 2018. We're going to be following a PowerPoint that's found on our website called Q1 Results. There is a disclaimer page on the front of this PowerPoint. We will be making forward-looking statements, and I would refer you to that statement for the disclaimers required. So we want to start the call today a little bit different than usual. Given that our friends from Barkerville have published their maiden resource yesterday, the best question of the day will be receiving a pair of Barkerville gold cufflinks. So, on to the main event. For the first quarter of the year, we had 20,000 ounces of GEOs, gold equivalent ounces, which fits in with our annual guidance of 77,000 to 82,000 ounces of GEOs. Cash operating margins were at 91%, the highest in the precious metal sector. And we generated $29.5 million in additional cash operating. And we also had from our offtake agreements $2.4 million delivered. Record cash flows from operating at $23.3 million, a 94% increase over Q1 2017. We also executed the investment of $148 million in Victoria Gold's Eagle Project in the Yukon. $98 million of that purchased a 5% royalty, which will deliver 10,000 ounces per year of gold to us, so a very significant add to our asset base and a Canadian asset, fully permitted and under construction as we speak. We were also able to convert the Matilda gold offtake to a royalty of 1.65% into a stream, And we monetized about $25.6 million of equities, realizing a realized gain of $15.5 million. And one of the things that I do want to highlight today is that from the investment in our accelerator companies, since we started in June 2014, we have harvested over $70 million in realized gains, and our equity book still remains at just under $400 million. So we've had most excellent returns and a very, very much appreciated increase in value in our within the asset base of our accelerator companies. We've also earned several royalties through our accelerator model that has about a $90 million cost base and probably has a market value in excess of $200 million as we sit today. So the accelerator model has really outperformed most of our traditional royalty and streaming opportunities, and we'll be going further to highlight that as we get further through the operating year of 2018 as to how the returns are working on that model. We also repaid $32 million on our revolving credit facility in April. We distributed $7.8 million to our shareholders through our 14th consecutive dividend payment, and right now we sit at 1.6% yield, which is near the top of all companies in the gold mining space. We repurchased 1.6 million shares at $12.65, and we continue to be believers in our own stock. And if the market devalues our stock, we are buyers of our own stock, and we believe strongly that we are in a very low valuation period. So on the theme of buy low and sell high, I would encourage everybody on the call today to have a serious review of the underpinning value within Osisko Gold Royalties, and maybe share our view on the value gap that exists in the marketplace today. Moving on to page four, we've gone from 10,000 ounces in Q1 2017 to 20,000 ounces in Q1 2018, 100% increase year on year. Our guidance right now is for 77,000 to 82,000 ounces for the year of gold equivalent ounces, and in giving us one of the strongest growth profiles in the precious metal royalty and streaming space. Page five, you can see the evolution. We started out our first full year of business was 2015 at 30,000 ounces. We finished this year just a tick under 59,000 ounces, and we're 77,000 to 82,000 ounces for 2018. Page six basically gives you a breakdown of how our assets work. Obviously, we have some very big assets here. Canadian Malartic is by far one of the most valuable assets in the royalty space in the world, and Canadian Malartic continues to strengthen with adding resources and reserves both in the Odyssey area and the East Malartic pit. So we see it as a growing asset, and it continues to get stronger and stronger. Canadian Malartic is now ranked the 12th largest gold mine in the world, the largest gold mine by production in Canada. Last year it was 17th, and it's moved up the ranks by 5 this year. Eleanor, CB, Bruce Jack, Island Gold, Veza, and a combination of other producing assets has taken us from the 30,000 ounces to 59,000 ounces. Gold equivalent. As you can see, our split, we are 69% gold, 16% silver, and we have 11% in diamonds, and just 4% in other minerals. So, dominantly gold, silver business, as we talk about how we fit into the royalty and streaming space. Cash on hand, net cash flow from operating activities, for this year we had $23.3 million, and adjusted earnings we had $8.9 million for the quarter. Page 8, I'm going to hand it over to Liv Levesque, our CFO, and she's going to take you through the Q1 results from the financial statement.
Thank you, Sean. Like Sean mentioned, we had a very strong quarter, and the results mainly reflect the impact of the addition of the Orion portfolio and the increase in the cash margin. We did see a 94% increase compared to the same quarter last year, ending at 23.3 net cash flow from operating activities, and that really reflects the increase in cash margin. And if we do look at the adjusted earnings, we do actually see the impact of the increase in gross profit, partially offset by higher finance costs and also higher due to the reduced G&A. And in terms of the GEOs, you will see again, we have almost doubled compared to the same period last year. And the revenues also see the increase with the effect of the Orion portfolio. Our cash operating margin stand at 91%, looking at royalties and streams compared to $17 million same period last year. For the year, we're probably looking at more of an average of 87%. In addition to the cash operating margin from the royalties and streams, we also get a 2.6% of a margin from the offtake. We look at those agreements more on a financial settlement equivalent basis. And they do add a little bit on top of what we receive from our royalties and streams. So the net earnings for the quarter stand at $2.3 million compared to a $4.1 million last year for the same period. Looking at our financial position on page 9, cash to cash equivalents were at $333 million for the year at quarter ending March 31, 2018. And if you look at April 30, we're at $205 million, which reflects the payment of $32 million on our debt facility and the payment of $99 million on the Victoria Beef deal. So our debt also shows a reduction in $32 million. I'm looking at April 30th numbers. So our credit facility right now stands about $117 million drawn. And investments at $351 million as of the end of March 31 and $382 million as of April 30th with the addition of the investment made in Victoria as well.
Questions, Sean? Thanks, Liz. So obviously, the balance sheet's in great shape. We have quite a bit of liquidity and quite a bit of firepower on our balance sheet. So we are able to continue on and look for valuable transactions in 2018, and we are in a position to execute if we see fit on any investment that looks like it meets our criteria. On page 10, we are on our 15th consecutive quarter of returning capital to shareholders. We believe that this brings a level of discipline to how we run our business. We're very proud to be one of the companies that paid a dividend in the second quarter of existence when we started this company in June 2014. One of our priorities was to be a top-end dividend payer within the space, and we're currently yielding 1.6% to the market, which is within the top five companies in the space in terms of dividend yield. So not only do we have good underpinning asset value, we are also paying everybody to stay with us in a very aggressive fashion compared to the rest of the space. Page 11, I wanted to go through the acquisition that we executed with Victoria Gold, our new partners. We currently own 15.5% of the company, and we have a 5% top-line royalty on the asset. This is an asset that is fully permitted and currently under construction. John McConnell and his team are highly capable people. They've built lots of mines in the north before. I met Mr. McConnell when I worked at Nana Civic back in the 80s, and he was the mine manager then, which was on Baffin Island. Couldn't be a better team to operate in the Yukon than John McConnell and his crew. We financed the company for $148 million of a $500 million overall project financing, so the project is 100% financed now. And it's located 85 kilometers north of Mayo, which is a well-known mining district. It's a drive-to site, not a fly-in, fly-out. Has reserves of 123 million tons at 0.67 grams for a total in-situ resource of 2.7 million ounces. We see significant upside in the geological environment in which this deposit is found. There are several historic high-grade deposits in the area, and now that we have a beachhead in the area, we think that this is a camp-style play and that we're going to be here for a good time, a long time, and make a lot of money in this camp. And we look forward to developing this. We think the Yukon is the premium jurisdiction in the world right now to invest in terms of regulation, in terms of being mining friendly, and in terms of geological potential. This is the best of the best. We're looking for 10,000 ounces a year average gold GEO production for us, which would make it one of the cornerstone assets within the Osisko family of assets. It's a very simple project. It's essentially a crusher and a heat leach and yellow dump trucks. So not particularly challenging on the technical side, but lots to do in terms of upside. On to page 12, a real review of our geopolitical risk management system. We've stayed dominantly Canadian, dominantly in North America, and in premium jurisdictions in South America. As you can see, most of our key assets, Renard, Eleanor, Canadian Malartic, Brucejack, Bald Mountain, Peril, Island Gold, Gibraltar, CB, Veza, are all Canadian assets. And in South America, we're essentially the biggest asset we have there is Mantos, and again, another premium jurisdiction. Other assets that we own right now, Sasa Kwale Matilda and Amsler in Armenia, but all in all, pretty much a dominantly safe jurisdiction asset base. Page 13 shows our near and medium term cash flow assets that you know, we're seeing right now, as we talked about, Eagle is under construction now. And I'm very happy to announce today that Barkerville poured 44 kilos of gold last week, and we will be receiving our first gold shipment from an accelerator company. So the accelerator model has gone from conception to execution to production, and we are now receiving gold from one of the accelerator companies, and we have a 2.25%, 2.25% royalty on that. So we are actually gone much faster than I thought we would in the accelerator model, and that Barkerville is now in small-scale production and shipping gold to Osisko Gold Royalties from the Cariboo mine site. We also have earned a 1% royalty on Hermosa, which Richard Wark and his team have done a most excellent job of advancing in Arizona, one of the best zinc discoveries in the world, and currently sinking ramp. So that 1% royalty that we purchased 2 years ago has gone up in value significantly as they've de-risked that project. We've also seen great progress from Osisko Mining at Windfall. We have a pending resource coming out at Windfall. Last year, we had 24 drills starting at Windfall, and it was probably one of the most intense exploration campaigns in the world, if not the most intense. So we're going to see the product of that exploration result coming out later in the month. Other assets that are performing for us, Pandora with Agnico Eagle, La Mac with El Dorado, Marban that sells within the Osisko Mining, and obviously the one, the only, Canadian Malartic continues to deliver with new discoveries at Odyssey North and South and East Malartic. We also earned a royalty of an 18.5% gold stream and a 75% silver stream on the Back 40 project owned by Aquila in Michigan. So we have a lot of growth assets that are already paid for. So as those assets move through the value chain, no further investment required from Osisko Gold Royalties, but we will be the benefactor of all that investment and all that production. Summary slide on page 14. As we sit here, we're about to celebrate our fourth year in business in June. We started this company through an IPO after the sale of Canadian Malartic, June 17, 2014. We now have 130 royalties and streams, 5 cornerstone assets, 20 assets in cash flow, paying a sector-leading 1.6% dividend, precious metal focus, Canada focus, 20,000 GEOs delivered in Q1 of 2018. This is a company and a business that makes money 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And we have a growth pattern to go from 8,000 ounces now to over 150,000 ounces in 2023 without any additional investment. The balance sheet is in great shape, over $382 million in our equity investments, which we're seeing a lot of de-risking going on in terms of resources being delivered, as Barkerville delivered 1.6 million ounces of indicated yesterday and 2.2 million ounces of inferred resources in a main resource of the Cariboo District. And we have many more things to come in the near term in terms of the accelerator companies as they build up. Over $200 million in cash and over $250 million in undrawn debt and credit facilities. So we're in great shape going into 2018. A lot of the foundation work was done last year. We executed the acquisition of the Orion portfolio for $1.1 billion, making it the largest royalty and streaming transaction since the IPO of Franco-Nevada in 2010. And we continue to blaze trails and create new business models within the royalty and streaming business. We are looking forward to a very innovative year. We have a lot of good things in the pipeline, and we're contributing to cash flow, and we're seeing a strengthening and a maturity within our accelerator model, transitioning from concept into reality with the addition of resources and production within that group of companies. On that note, I will open it up to any questions that we have for today, and I thank everybody for taking the time. I know this has been a busy couple of days for reporting, so I appreciate everybody's effort in terms of participating in today's call, and I'll now take any questions that anybody might have.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone that in order to ask a question, please press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. À ce moment, j'aimerais vous rappeler que vous pouvez demander une question en composant l'étoile suivie du numéro 1 sur votre clavier téléphonique. Veuillez patienter un instant lorsque nous compilons les questions. Your first question, votre première question, comes from the line of Kerry Smith with Haywood Securities. Your line is open, votre ligne est ouverte.
Thanks, operator. Sean, just one question kind of on a more strategic level. With the, you know, the competition is pretty fierce for these sort of plain vanilla royalties in the gold and silver space. Is there much opportunity for you to find royalties or create royalties in, say, the cobalt, lithium, graphite space or kind of esoteric, you know, minor metals? But it just seems like the competition is pretty stiff for the precious metal stream. I just wonder what the deal flow might be like in those other specialty metals.
Good question, Kerry. Obviously, we're the first ones to print a deal on a royalty, a 5% top-line royalty at Victoria this year, so competition be what it may, we've been in front. In terms of alternative metals, we look at them from a strategic base quite often. We haven't executed anything in that space to date, but we are active and aware of it, and as you will know, a lot of the crew that works for Osisko Gold Royalties came from Cambior. They built Niobec, and they have a fairly good view on specialty metals, so we're aware and capable of operating within that space, and we'll take them as they come, but we have not executed anything yet, but that doesn't mean that it won't happen in the future.
Okay. And just a second question. Can you remind me the timing of how the buyback works on the Pretium stream and the offtake? Just remind me the timing on that, if it's going to happen.
So the Pretium offtake, there's several conditions on the offtake that are important to remember. They can't execute the offtake until December 31st, 2018, at which point they would be paying us $116 million. But to get there, they have to retire all of the debt held by Orion. So until the debt deal is done, they can't execute the buyback. Then there's a second date, December 31st, 2019, at which point in time they pay us in excess of $130 million. Same conditions apply. Two things noteworthy. We also own an offtake agreement for 50% of the gold that's produced by the mine that we market. We have a 6-day look back window on those gold purchases. If you looked at our offtake win, we had about $2.4 million of gains in the offtake agreements. A lot of that came from the Pretium offtake. Another note on the Pretium buyback is that should the company be sold before those buybacks are executed, we would split it's just over 13% of the gross sale value of the company between ourselves and the other offtake agreement. So we have many ways to get returns on Pretium between here and now. If those offtakes do not get executed and the company does not get sold, we would start to receive our stream in 2020. Quite happy to fill you in on more detail on that. If anybody wants to send in a note, all the information is public, but we'll give you a summary of how the deal works, if that helps. But we think that Pretium, you know, it's always been a question of the stability of the resource. We think that Pretium is going to have a quarter-by-quarter, sort of up and down because of the way the ore body works, but in the overall basis, this is a world-class asset. It's going to perform. Whether the buyback gets executed or not, we're strong believers in the Pretium project. We think that there's lots of upside in the Valley of the Kings and in the Golden Triangle in general, and we think that this is the very beginning of the redevelopment of the Golden Triangle. So we're quite keen on the asset, quite keen on the overall camp play there.
Okay, that's great. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Your next question, votre prochaine question, comes from the line of Kerry McCreary with Canaccord Genuity. Your line is open, votre ligne est ouverte.
Hi, good morning, guys. You mentioned 150,000 ounces by 2023. I'm just wondering if you can give a bit of color on which assets do you see coming into production to drive that.
Sure. Sure. Well, obviously, we have in the shoot right now, we have the ramp up at Amstler that's scheduled to happen in the fourth quarter of this year if they finish their construction. We have Pretium. We have Back 40 in there, and we have Eagle, which is under construction as we speak. So all these projects are fully financed and underway for the most part. And we expect to see those assets in the food chain between now and 2023.
And then secondly, on Victoria, you know, we've seen a lot of transactions that involve streams. I'm just wondering, was there something particular about why it used the NSR model there rather than a stream?
You know, I think each company has their preferred model. For us, royalties are more tax efficient, and we prefer them for the simplicity. And I think from a management standpoint, the royalty is quite straightforward. And, you know, it's a Yukon asset. So most of these deals are tailored around the jurisdictional regulations that makes the most advantage. So in terms of where it sits for us, this is 100% margin gold, so it's obviously very good for us. And for the company, it's the most efficient way to get the capital they require to build this asset. And, you know, we partnered up with Caterpillar Finance, Orion, and ourselves deliver a full package of $500 million here. So that, I think that, you know, in terms of how you look at project financing, at the end of the day, it's about the asset, and all of the financing is related to the asset. And this was the combination that worked the best for this situation.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Your next question, votre prochaine question, comes from the line of Dan Rollins with RBC Capital Markets. Your line is open. Votre ligne est ouverte.
Yeah, thanks very much. Sean, just on that last question, when you speak about Brucejack, are you including the stream, or are you assuming that's been bought back and it's just the offtake and that 150 sort of number?
If you look at our presentation, Dan, we've always shown it assuming that the Brucejack buyback has occurred, which represents about 20,000 ounces a year by the time we get to 2023. If it doesn't happen, then we would add 20,000 ounces to our assumptions.
Okay, perfect. And then just with respect to the deal flow going forward, if we look at more, you know, precious metal-focused opportunities, what do you see out there in the pipeline? I guess 3 to 6 months ago would have been more development stage opportunities. Obviously, you've pulled the trigger on Victoria there. But do you see the pipeline still pretty good right now, or are you starting to see a bit of a wane in the opportunities?
Well, obviously, the performance of current equity markets has set the stage for royalty and streaming. I don't think anybody's going to achieve much project financing through equity offerings at this point in time. As you would be well aware, Dan, the amount of equity deals that have been executed in 2018 is close to zero. So the only thing that's getting done right now, I believe, are equity associated with stream and royalty deals, debt deals, and supplier take-back loans is really the only source of financing for development projects right now. So we see it very much as a development market until the equity markets open back up. But, you know, we know that there's probably 100 companies that need to do equity deals right now that haven't been able to get any traction on equity at the office. So we've focused on, you know, combining with our partners to do full financing offers where we're providing everything that we need to do. We're seeing an awful lot of discussion about M&A that often requires an injection of cash in the transaction to make it work. So we see both M&A and project financing being the business of 2018. And I don't think there's any shortage of opportunity. If I had a dollar for every call that I got to be in an equity deal this quarter, I'd probably be golfing with you, Dan.
Well, I don't really golf that well, so unfortunately that's
there's no golfers in this office either, so.
And then just with you mentioned your partners and the full financing package, you know, before the royalty stream would have been there with equity, with a debt component, the equity component is not there. Do you see yourselves working with you know, Caterpillar in the future, potentially Orion in the future, and maybe other parties to offer this full-fledged, you know, financing package? And how would you compare your ability to do that relative to your peers right now?
I think we're in pretty good shape, Dan. You know, our traditional relationship has been with FDSQ, Case Depot, CPPIB, and obviously Orion is now a big shareholder of Cisco. And then, you know, we've had good partners, between, you know, in terms of everything we've done with BlackRock, Fidelity, M&G, Tocqueville especially has been a great supporter. And also Franklin out of California. So we think that on a debt provisional basis, we have several partners we can work with. We want to be part of a full solution because there's no use in having a royalty on a partially financed project. You need 100% financing for the royalty to have value. And as you know, we also we like to partner up with groups that need some technical support. And our technical team is still very much intact and very active through the accelerator companies. We've been able to preserve all of our technical capacity. Luke Lessard is leading the charge over at Falco, but we have mine building. And, you know, we operated the largest exploration program in the world last year with 41 rigs turning. So we have quite a bit of depth on the bench in terms of drill outs and exploration transitional to development stage projects. As you saw, we just drilled out Barkerville, and we're currently, Windfall has been drilled out, and we're getting ready to announce the resource there. We delivered the feasibility study on Falco. So, you know, we're active on a lot of fronts, and we've kept our technical integrity alive, and I think that we're a catalyst investor that, you know, debt lenders and people that maybe not as technical as us like to have in the mix for project financing. So that's where we see our niche, is that we can be a lead on a project financing. We can provide technical oversight for the group as the lead financer in these things. And for the companies that we're investing in, it gives them some peer review and some depth on the bench for any technical services that they may, as a single asset company, not have available to them. So I think we're pretty happy with how our business is set up, Dan. It's taken, you know, a little bit of while for the market to adjust to it, but I don't think there's any doubt at this point in time that the potency of our model is coming to bear, especially in a downtick market like we're in right now.
Sure, that's very informative. Appreciate that. Enjoy the weekend.
All right, thank you, Dan, and I believe we're over to Mr. Mike Jalonen.
Yes, your next question is from the line of Mike Jalonen with Bank of America. Go ahead, please. Your line is open.
Thanks, Sean. I'm just on the fifth tee here at Oakville Golf Club, so I'll make it quick. And I think you're supposed to join me, but Brian's here instead. But I just...
Well, you're better golfer, but you're well off.
a lot of my questions were answered, but actually one that's kind of struck me on page 12, 13, your geographic diversification. You obviously have a couple of assets. A few in South America, one in Armenia, but you're obviously very North American-centric. Is there any thought process to going afar? And like some of your, like Franco's quite into Australia now, so just, and Wheaton's into LATAM along with Franco's. I'm just wondering what your thought process is there.
Well, Mike, as you know, we've had quite a bit of success in Canada. And I think that we, through our accelerator companies, have generated significant opportunity within Canada. Our accelerator companies collectively control over 10,000 square kilometers of mineral licenses in Canada. So, you know, that's where we start. Every investment outside of that is really about the operator. I'm not too concerned about the jurisdiction, but if we're with the right partner who understands and can manage that jurisdiction, we're quite willing to go with them. And, you know, in terms of, you know, either major or mid-tier companies that are operating in those jurisdictions, we're quite willing to participate financially as long as the corporate has the integrity for the jurisdiction that they're in. So we'll be looking more at that. But as you know, we just did another Canadian deal in Q1. We led the charge. I don't think there's been another significant royalty deal done so far this year. So, you know, we're first out of the gate again. We did the biggest deal in the sector last year, and we got a good start on 2018, and again with Canadian assets. So we'll stay on the Canadian theme, but say once we leave Canada, it's really about the operator.
Okay, maybe just one follow-up. How many more companies would you add to your accelerator lineup there? I think you have around 10, if I'm counting right. What's the optimum number? Because you said you're getting a call every day now.
I think where we are, Mike, is that as long as we see value and, you know, we can contribute. And, you know, we don't do these incubator accelerator companies unless we have market participation alongside of us. So we'll follow a bit the market, what they want us to do. As you saw, we created the Cisco Metals last year to participate in the zinc plays. We've also added Mineral Alamos in Mexico to our portfolio, and now we've added Victoria, where we own 15.5%. As long as there are good companies with good management teams, with good ideas, we're going to be there all day, every day. And I don't think there's a limit to how many we would do, but there is a limit to how much our equity book would be. I don't think that we want to see our equity book expand much further in terms of dollar value than what it is now. So what I would say to you is that we're probably at a sell something to buy something stage within our equity book at this point, and we want to recirculate that cash. So just to reiterate, if you look at our equity book right now, we have $382 million invested. But in the last 3 years, we've already have realized gains of $70 million. And the royalties that we earned in that, we invested $90 million in sidecar royalties, because generally speaking, the only time we own an equity is if we've got a royalty or streaming opportunity. And the value of that $90 million investment into royalties and streams that we've earned on the way into this is well in excess of $200 million. So, you know, in the way we look at it, Mike, is that our accelerator model is almost paid for itself already. We see in our minds, we see about $170, $200 million of returns from the accelerator model, the way we think about it, that we've already earned, which is far superior to any royalty and streaming project that's been out there. So it's been a potent part of the business. And now that a lot of these accelerator companies are moving, you know, from concept to resource, on the PA to feasibility, we see the gel of the value in that. And I think you'll see throughout 2018 the potency of the accelerator companies. And the capital at risk, the way I think about it, if I take away the value of the royalties and the value of the realized gain and the current equity book, we don't have that much capital at risk to execute this strategy. Shareholders need to understand how potent this thing has been. We've been very fortunate in terms of our equity return. You know, not many people have realized a $70 million gain on a $300 million equity book in the last 3 years. We've been able to do that, and those are tangible assets. I can tell you the numbers because we've sold the stock and we've harvested the positions. So that's where we are. 2018 will be a lot of explaining to people what the significant returns have been on the accelerator and incubator model for us. And you know, we think that we have a lot less cash exposed in the accelerator model than the market is actually perceiving right now. So that's one of our main themes as we go forward into the rest of 2018.
Okay, well, thanks for that answer. And maybe you should be on the golf course this weekend, because I see you got an eagle in the Yukon. So congrats. Thank you.
Well, it's better than a beagle. Which is an Eagle 200, I assume a Beagle 2 over. All right, that's our last question for today. Thank you, everybody, for calling in today, and we will be working on the Cuplink answers today.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect. Mesdames, Messieurs, cela m'a fait l'appel conférence aujourd'hui. Vous pouvez maintenant raccrocher.